This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. Thank you for listening, and please join us every Sunday for worship with us.
Pilate one day asked Jesus, "What is the truth?" We're still talking about that question even till today. Will there ever be an answer for that question? We're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you in this Thanksgiving time for the blessings that you have given to us, and especially that you have given to us your word, which has within it the truth. Grant, O God, that we may understand that this is one of your greatest gifts to us. So as we thank you for the material, we also thank you for the spiritual, and that you have come to be our Savior, who once said, "I am the truth." In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, what is the truth? This is the question Pilate once asked Jesus. It was not new with him. It had been a philosophical question for hundreds of years before our Lord ever walked on this earth. And you can go back into ancient literature and see how some of the great philosophers answered that question. None of them had really any agreement. And there was something they were leaving behind, even as we study their philosophies today. But we ask the question too, not in philosophical terms. Many of us have never had a course in philosophy and could care less about it. But we ask the question this way. Who do you believe? In our day and age, who do you believe? And probably that was the same question that our grandparents were asking when they walked on this earth. Who do you believe? One says this, and another one says that. In other words, it aims at this question, beneath it all, is there truth? Now, Jesus was standing in Pilate's court. The Jews had brought him there, asking that the Roman officials sentence him to die. But you just didn't bring a person into even Pilate's court and say, give us an accusation that he can be crucified, will you? Pilate wanted to know what he had done. And so he tried him. And he found absolutely no guilt in him. So then he came back out to the people and said, I can't sentence this man to die. He's perfectly innocent. He's a good man. He's done a lot of great things. I've heard about him. He's healed the sick. They tell me that he's even raised the dead. I don't know if I believe that, Pilate said, but that's what's being said about him. And then the Jews really got excited, and they said, look, Pilate, you are here to keep peace, but if you let this Jesus Christ continue as he is, he's going to give real problems to your kingdom, to the Roman Empire. For he says he has a kingdom, and he says he is the king of the Jews. We're also willing to admit that we're anxious to get him out of the way because he has done a lot of harm to us in our religious life too. People begin to follow him. They wonder if he's the Messiah. Nothing could be farther from the truth. So for the good of the kingdom of God and for the good of the kingdom of this earth, Pilate, please sentence him to death. And with that plea, Pilate took Jesus into the chambers. And he said, well, they tell me that you claim to be the king of the Jews. Are you a king? And these are the words that Jesus uttered to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then? Asked Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. There it is, friend. Pilate turned and looked at him and said, pray tell me then, what is the truth? And so the question was asked to Jesus by the governor of the Roman Empire, a sentence assigned to Jerusalem. If he had only known that the truth was standing before him. For Jesus had said, I am the way and the truth. I am the way, I am the truth. And so we have an answer for that as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we know what truth is. It is found in Jesus Christ. But there are other people who continue to answer this question, what is the truth? So let's take a look at it. Here is what Bishop Ryle, whom I often quote, an old bishop from the land of England, once said, the cynic believes there is no such thing as truth, that all religions are false, that life is all that we have to care for, and all creeds are only words and superstitions, which no sensible person would attend to. It is precisely the state of mind in which thousands of great and rich men in every age have lived and died. I wonder if that answer is still not with us. Are there not a lot of cynics in our day? Are there not a lot of people that say, truth is subjective? What might be true for you is not true for me. And I've got to allow you to have the truth, and you must allow me to have the truth. So we go off our own ways, no one being able to say for sure what is the truth. I'll take as much of Christianity to myself as I can comprehend. But that part of Christianity that deals with dogma, count me out of it, for it goes beyond my comprehension, and that to me, then, is not truth. Others will say, well, truth has got to be proven. If you can prove it, well, that's fine. If I go to my doctor, and he says, well, you have an infection, I'm going to give you an antibiotic, I believe that that's truth, because I have been given antibiotics. And the antibiotics did clear up the infection. So therefore, because of the experience, because we have seen that is true, then we believe it. Others go on to say that truth is what I have experienced, that part that has been taught to me. If I'm going to enter into a business deal with a person, I have experienced that it is wise to have a written contract. Oh, a person says that is not absolutely necessary. I believe you, you are an honest man. But the shrewd businessman is anxious to say, I really do believe you. I think you are an honest man. But I want you to know this, it's just right for us to have something down on paper. For truth has proven that the best of people can go against their word. There is that kind of truth that you realize it is right because you have practiced it and see that it comes out right, that you have experienced it. But there is another truth that is far above that, and that is what we call biblical truth. It is true that Jesus did say, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That's truth. What he has said often goes beyond what my mind can understand, but God has revealed it to me. And the Holy Spirit has taken that truth and really made it a living reality in my life. Those truths are pinned in the Holy Scriptures. And that's why we say that His Word is truth, and we are to be sanctified in that truth. Therefore, the Word of God becomes extremely precious to an evangelical Christian. He wants to see that that Bible remains as it is, for that is his truth. That is the basis for his life. That is a platform for everything that he believes. You cannot take that truth and twist it and turn it to meet the culture of your day, no matter how high up you may be in the ecclesiastical realm. It cannot be done, nor dare the church allow it to be done. Let's see how the Holy Spirit makes this thing really work. And I'm going to take you back to a couple of scripture passages. The first one is in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. You remember that Jesus had a good friend. His name was Lazarus. He often went to Bethany where Lazarus lived with his two sisters, and they had a gay time together. And there Martha cooked him up a good meal, and it was a cozy time there with those friends. Well, then you recall that Lazarus died. Martha, when he was sick, had called for Jesus. Jesus was not far away, and she thought he would come rushing right over and heal his good friend, but he didn't come. In fact, when he did come, Lazarus was not only dead, but he had been in the tomb for several days. When Jesus sat and talked with Martha, she said to him, Lord, your good friend Lazarus is dead. And Jesus looked into her eyes, and he said, Martha, your brother will rise again. Now there is a truth. It transcends my understanding. It goes far beyond what I could comprehend, just from a human point of view. That a dead man who had been embalmed and put in a tomb would come forth. But that's what Jesus said. Notice how Martha handles that truth. "Oh, I know it, Lord. I have been taught that. When I went to the rabbinical schools, I was taught just that, that there was a life after death." And Jesus breaks in and says, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And then asks the question, "Martha, do you really believe this?" And then she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ." There is a Bible passage, or in their case, a direct statement from Jesus, saying that he was the resurrection and the life. Martha could not comprehend it, but Jesus had revealed it, and the Holy Spirit in that short period of time brought this woman to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life." That's truth. Now, what does that do to us today? That tells us when we put our loved ones in the grave, that the day will come, that they will come forth. You say that to the average man on Main Street, he'd ask, perhaps would wonder, what was really wrong with you. But that is truth. Truth. Because God has revealed it. And though my little mind cannot comprehend it, in faith, by grace, I can believe it. See how much larger your world gets? You come from the cemetery, you think that everything has gone to pieces. Life is ended, there is no more. What is it to it all? But Jesus said there's a lot more to it. This is just the beginning. Now let me take you to another illustration, not dealing with death. You know, there was none who was more angry at the Christian movement than St. Paul himself. In those days, he was Saul of Tarsus. But Jesus had decided that he was to be the missionary to the Gentile world. And so one day, when Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as he was known in those days, was on his way to Damascus to get some Christians and to bring them back to Jerusalem that they could be persecuted, was converted. God brought him to his knees. The light shone down out of heaven. You can read about it in the 9th chapter of Acts. And here came the voice from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul said, "Who is it?" And our Lord said, "It is Jesus whom you persecute. Get up now and go into Damascus and go to Straight Street. And there you'll find a man by the name of Ananias. He will talk to you about my plans for your life." So Saul got up. He was blind. They let him in to Damascus and finally to Ananias' house. But Ananias had said to the Lord, as the Lord revealed to him what he was to do as Saul of Tarsus, that he was to become the Gentiles' great evangelist. God says, you deal with him, you talk to him, you tell him the way, you baptize him. Ananias said, "Lord, this guy is a bad egg. He has really been tough on the Christians. Are you sure?" And God said, "Ananias, you do what I tell you. He is my chosen disciple to the Gentiles." Ananias did it. Ananias saw that man who was so rebellious, saw that enemy of Jesus Christ turn and become one of his most devout followers. St. Paul. That's truth. Ananias had been told truth. It went far beyond what he could understand, didn't make sense to him at all. But it was a truth. What I'm trying to say is there is revealed truth. Many of the things that you and I read in the Bible don't make sense as far as a rational mind is concerned, unless we have lived in the scriptures for many years. But it is truth. It is truth, and that is what really makes life exciting. It makes our life rich and new and comforting. We can understand that when hardship comes, Jesus has promised that there would be strength and comfort, and that is truth. But that truth cannot be adjusted. Again, I'm saying it cannot be adjusted, and that's why the church should be so utterly concerned when the Word of God is being tampered with. Now, it's one thing if it's tampered with outside by the enemies of the church, by the enemies of Christ, but when it is tampered with by the church itself, then you've got serious troubles. For then we are beginning to say, well, if it just doesn't make sense to our age, then you forget about the truth. No. Now, I have chosen to preach this sermon today as the beginning of a few other sermons that bring us into the Advent season. You know, Advent begins now next Sunday. And next Sunday, we're going to begin to focus our eyes on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why has he come? Who is he? What does he have to give to this old world? In order that we may have some biblical orientation to what the coming of Jesus Christ is, often called in the church the incarnation. I'd like to dip into the Word of God with you and talk about four revealed truths that find themselves in the Scriptures, given to us first by God, telling us why we have Christmas and telling us why Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world and the Lord of the nations. Please join us next Sunday and the Sundays following and see if Christmas is not made more rich to you by the truth from God's Word. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, as we live in this confused old world, the question still is asked, what is truth? As human beings, we have toyed with that question and have not been able to come up with the answer. But Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us to your word and open our eyes to see that in Christ alone we have the truth. For it is you, Lord Jesus, who have pointed out to us that we are sinners, that we are inadequate, but that you are the one who can forgive us and empower us to see what your will truly is. O God, we pray that that may be found in the hearts of individuals, and especially we pray that it may find its way into the hearts of those who deal with the lives of so many people in government. Grant, Lord Jesus, your blessings to rest upon those who are sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, the dying. Pray for those who live in our homes where the aged are, wondering how long they must continue. But we pray that they may find their comfort and their peace, and that the word alone may be brought to them. Father, we also pray this day not only for the elderly, but for those who are in that time of life where they are raising their children. Help them to see, too, the importance of directing them to that great truth that there are still absolutes, and those absolutes alone can guide them along life's way. So we commit ourselves into your care and keeping, thanking you for every good gift that you have bestowed upon us. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. As we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving this week, we thank God for the blessings we enjoy. It is our prayer that you will stay safe as you travel and enjoy a blessed holiday with loved ones. Christian Crusaders is thankful for our faithful listeners and their decades of generous support through gifts and prayers. These offerings have allowed us to continue to expand our reach, broadcasting the gospel across the country on the radio and throughout the world over the internet. Because of you, thousands of listeners, many of whom are unable to get to church, have an opportunity to worship and hear the gospel message. If you would like to help support this mission, we at Christian Crusaders and those of whom we serve would be very grateful. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you know a neighbor, friend, or relative who would benefit from our program, please let them know about our service. You can also refer others to our website to find out more information about the ministry at christiancrusaders.org. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously every Sunday since 1936.